Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right. In the words of Trey Kirby of NBA's The Starters, we're back, baby. The Bench Jockeys back with another season of baseball talk here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves. And joining me on the phone, Chris Zook, the longtime rider of the pine alongside me. Chris Zook, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
And we have a third member of the bench this morning, the pity party's own Brian Svensson.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
In the booth. We always seem to drag in at least one token Blue Jays fan on this program. Someone who's excited to talk to Arash Madani about the Jays and dream hopeful dreams about their prospects in the AL East. But today, Brian is dressed head to toe in Seattle Mariners gear because, of course, we like to tip our caps. We like to pour them out. So today, I'm not even just tipping it. I'm just taking it straight off and holding it against my heart for the news that Ichiro Suzuki is moving to the front office. Not retiring. DePoto, very, very, like...
His agent, too. Ichiro's agent said...
Like, wait. Pump the brakes.
Yeah.
Although it does kind of feel like this is the... The fork in the road, and he's taken that fork towards eventually retiring. Although he says until he's, you know, using a cane, he doesn't necessarily want to.
Yeah, so the way I understand the position that they're giving him, he'll still suit up in uniform. He'll still warm up on the field. He just won't be on the bench come game time, which is wild. And I don't think this is it. I think we get to see him one more time. It makes way too much sense because they play the A's in Japan for the opening series next year, so I think they're going to find a way to get him onto the roster for.
As I understand it, I read a piece on MLB.com says that because it's an international game to start that next season,
right?
They can have an expanded roster for that series,
right? So they can bring him on.
They could bring him on without necessarily demoting or in other ways blocking one of their young players,
right?
Zook, I know you've been to like every ballpark multiple times. Did you get to see Ichiro play at Safeco?
I actually did. I was very fortunate of that, and he made an insane catch on the wall. It was way early in his career in the early aughts there, and. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's had quite a career. He's the best Japanese player. Obviously, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and Otani now is kind of following in his footsteps here. But it's exactly sort of what I read today about this in regards to it does leave the opening for him to play in that series in Tokyo. I mean, it would just make sense, right? I mean, he's sort of the ambassador and open the door to Japanese ball players in MLB. But yeah, I was very fortunate to see him sort of in his prime there until he was beginning his career in Seattle there. And I guess that's sort of why he went back, and maybe he kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit. He didn't do too much early this season. And yeah, I mean, if that's the end of the playing career of Ichiro, I mean, it's been an amazing career. I read something also that we might not see someone like this for a while who sort of possesses speed, has some power, but, defensively. I mean, people forget when he came in, it was crazy. I mean, he was hitting all over the place, but his stance and how he'd get to first base, he'd get hits when he would get to when it usually were ground out. So it's pretty amazing career, but if this is it, it's a bit sad just because that's, you know, it kind of just peters out. But I mean, like he said, he probably still wants to still play to 50 if he could.
He says, when I start using a cane, that's the time I think I should retire. He's 44 this season. Yeah, he went 9-for-44 in limited action with the Mariners this season. He, of course, was filling in the field for Ben Gamel, who had been on the disabled list, but who is coming back. And they don't necessarily need to roster a fifth outfielder at this point. You mentioned the power. Like, this is the thing. People would talk about the fact that, like, in batting practice, Ichiro, you know, could go yard.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
But chose not to get on base because it was a higher percentage thing for him to, like, slap those singles and get on base and then run roughshod over the base path.
I mean, he was a lot. If you ever read any of the interviews that he had, they were very expletive-laden quotes that he often gave. And one of them about his hitting approach mentioned that, like, he could hit home runs if he really wanted to, but he felt that there was more sexual prowess in hitting singles and that it was more appealing to ladies. So God bless the man.
So this was the response to the old Atlanta Braves commercial about the chicks dig the long ball.
Yes.
When Smoltz and Maddox tried to reinvent themselves as power hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm,
go
yeah.
ahead, Zoot.
No, I was just saying, because there's something about that. He sort of was analytic before their analytics were mm-hmm. really, you know, in the game, right? I mean, he just sort of, he figured that out, that he probably could have hit many home runs, right? But he just figured, I could get on base more percentage that way. And, I mean, look at the career he had. You can't deny what he did there, but it was interesting. He might have been early, you know, on saber metrics for himself that led to, you know, sort of it's been widely used now in the MLB.
10 straight seasons of 200 hits or more.
Which is crazy. Insane.
The only person to do that.
You know, it's actually kind of funny that you mentioned that the analytics is that sabermetrics actually doesn't favor Ichiro all that highly. In terms of his career, he's in the similar sort of wins above replacement range as guys like Kenny Lofton and Brian Giles, which is, like, you know, not guys that you would even consider putting into the Hall of Fame. I think that stuff like wins above replacement, OPS plus, and wins runs created, they don't value Ichiro in the same way that I think he should be valued, because they don't properly value players' defense, I think, and they don't value base running nearly as highly as I think they should.
Even at a web gem this season, at age 44, where he robbed a home
run. I think it was against the Tribe, wasn't it? Where he was Yonder Alonso. The guy's insane. Was still an insane defensive player. It's wild.
And this is a guy who had a slash line of .311, .355, .402 in 2,651 games over 18 years. That, like, level
is crazy
of performance. His hits at 3,089, most of any active player, but 22nd on the all-time list.
If you include all of his hits from Japan, it's 4,367.
It's an incredible amount when you count his Oryx Blue Wave years.
P. Rose doesn't count that.
No, I know he doesn't, but we don't count Pete Rose.
That's right.
And then he hit the single season record for hits with 262 in 2004.
Out of, like, 600 at bats, that's crazy. That's that. You know, that's a third. You're hitting at more than a third of the time, which is nuts. That's crazy. And he stole what, like, 509 bases over his entire career. That's insane too.
Yeah, that he 35th all time.
That's
at 509.
Crazy. It's still crazy.
And he batted, his batting average in Japan for 9 seasons with .353.
Yeah.
Like, these are like
rookie of the
MLB
year.
The show.
Yeah, video game
numbers. You've jobbed the video game kind of numbers.
He's rookie of the year in 2001. He also won the MVP that year. He should have won it in 2004, and he got robbed by the A-Rod's impressive performance, to be fair. But
which, of course,
was juiced.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he should have won in 2004. He hit .372 that year in 2004. That's insane. Man, the guy was just incredible. Such a good baseball player. The baseball was fun when Ichiro played.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I was so bummed. The year that I finally got to go to Seattle and go to Safeco, he was traded to the Yankees that summer.
No.
And he was not on the team when I made it to Seattle, and I was just, like,
bummed.
So disheartened. So, but yeah, we doff our caps to this guy. Fingers crossed. I mean, maybe it makes sense that if they go to Tokyo and he retires, like, after that series, like, back in Japan, that he kind of, like, closes the circle.
Yeah, and his agent has mentioned that he doesn't want to play for any team other than the Mariners, right? So, and he himself mentioned that he had the most fun he's ever had in his career was this year, where he was just kind of, you know, joking around with the guys.
Right, and he's gonna suit up and do batting practice and stuff. He won't be able to ride the bench, although he did joke about doing the Bobby Valentine and putting on, like, a beard and sunglasses and trying to, like, pretend he belonged on the bench.
Oh, what a hero.
Yep.
It's probably good that he left Miami. You know what I mean? Like, that's a bit of a fire sale going on there. So he got out just, you know, I mean, I think he sort of saw this a bit, right? I think he might have planned this out in the last, you know, at the end of last year to go to this year. And I, good for him, right? I mean, I've already read that, you know, people would say down the road, maybe he becomes a manager, right? You know, this is something that, I mean, he has that mind there of baseball, and he's, you know, he's been around it forever. So, I mean, in Seattle, he's just, you know, he's right up there with Ken Griffey and I guess Randy Johnson when he was back there. But, I mean, Griffey and Ichiro, that's, you think of Seattle, right? So, I mean, if it ends here and that's how he ends his career there, that's a fitting way.
Yeah, DePoto in the quotes on MLB.com called him the Dalai Lama in the clubhouse. And he said, you know, he'll sit down and immediately guys like D. Gordon and Mitch Haniger are, like, turning to him and looking for some sage advice. And so, yeah, conceivably he could take a coaching position and provide some insight in that way. So turning away from the current active hit leader to someone who's chasing that, yesterday night in a 12-3 victory over the Orioles, Albert Pujols hit a double that puts him at 2,999 hits. It's not going to come in Anaheim. They're going to be hitting the road, and it's very likely he'll hit the 3,000 mark on the road. But tip our cap to this guy who's, not necessarily the force he once was when he was on the Cardinals, but is still hitting.
Well, that's the crazy thing about that. Before he went to the Angels, I mean, his career was tracking to, you know.
We're losing you, Zook. Are you like driving while you're talking?
Zook's right, though. Like, this guy is one of the greatest hitters I think I've ever seen. I mean, Ichiro, too, right? But the way that Pujols just... I mean, the amount of times that Pujols broke relievers, right, where the guy would come in and... who was that one Astros reliever? Was it Brad Lige or... where he came in the World Series, the one that the Astros ended up winning with the Rocket. And... Pujols just murdered the baseball for a three-run home run, and that pretty much broke him. The guy was never the same after that, right? Like, that guy was just a force.
He's a power hitter, but he also had a great eye. Like, he would take, like, so many pitches in an at-bat and just, like, stare the pitcher down like, you're going to have to beat me. Like, I'm not gonna bite on any crap you dish out.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to get this honestly out, or I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately his body broke down a bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had the ankle issue that really kind of sapped some of his power right after he got traded to Anaheim.
I think he's got plantar fasciitis as well, which is like a really, like, if your feet and ankles are out, right?
And
like,
that's your power source. That's the base of where your swing comes from.
Exactly. So it is a shame that his body broke down, but we did still get to see him be probably, if not the best, one of the three or four best hitters, pure hitters in baseball for 10, 15 years. Guy was incredible.
Speaking of bodies breaking down, let's pour one out for Corey Seager.
Yeah.
Who hits the extended, not the 10-day DL that everyone likes to use.
Nah, he's
the
done
season.
For the
he's
season.
He's for the season with Tommy John. And possibly the fortunes of the Dodgers chasing a postseason, especially with the way that the Diamondbacks are playing this season. Losing Corey Seager is a huge blow to that organization.
I guess that's my question, right? Dave Roberts says that Chris Taylor, who's normally their center fielder, is going to play full-time shortstop. Chris Taylor's been an absolute disaster defensively in center field. The guy's obviously probably more comfortable, at least in the infield, as a second baseman. He hasn't played a lot of shortstop.
I was going to say, shortstop is a little more tricky than second.
Yeah, so he's who knows whether or not he's more comfortable. But I guess the question becomes now, like, who plays center for the Dodgers? Do they play Kike? Do they play Jock? Like, neither one of those guys are playing particularly well, and Kike can't hit right-handers to save his life. Do the Dodgers go out and make the trade? They are flush with prospects, so I guess, like, the question is do they go ahead and make a trade for somebody. You know, the A's are probably not sniffing the postseason. Do the Dodgers trade for Marcus Semien? Are the Twins far enough out that they punt? Do they trade Escobar? Or do they make the big trade and go get Machado, I guess is the question.
That was the one that the MLB The Ringer podcast was talking about this week is, I mean, it's early enough in this season, and Baltimore has had opportunities to trade Machado that the price might just be too high for Friedman to take.
Yeah.
You know, especially because he's a free agent after this year. And, I mean, despite it being L.A. and that being, you know, a spot that could conceivably be a welcome home for a free agent, it's not a guarantee.
Well, the thing is where do you fit him, right? Like, even if you bring him in and he plays shortstop because you don't have Seager the entire year, where do you fit him next season if you sign him as a free agent?
And you get Seager back?
Yeah, because you can't, right? Like, do you move Turner over to second? I mean, he's been an okay second baseman over the course of his career, but nothing special. And then keep Machado at third? But, like, I don't know, right? Like, there's not really much of a place to fit him. But do you really want to waste another year of prime Kershaw?
No, you don't, if you're a Dodgers fan.
Exactly.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they're built to win now, right? I mean, that's the whole point about this. I would think they should roll the dice a bit here and find a way to find them a position if they could. But, I mean, Kershaw isn't going to last forever. I mean, he stumbled a little bit this year. I mean, we're putting him up on his level of Kershaw. So stumbling for a normal pitcher is fine, but for him it isn't. And if I was the Dodgers, I would definitely look into the possibility of it, even if it's a rental for the end of the year, right? I mean, obviously they probably would try to sign him, but I would say try and find a place to. I mean, if you can add that to your lineup, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
No, I mean, as the saying goes, flags fly forever, so maybe you do it. Admittedly, I mean, Arizona looks really strong so far this season, and the Dodgers are sitting 4 games back in the wild card and 7 games behind the Diamondbacks in the West, and they're in 4th right now, behind San Francisco, who, like, by all accounts, we've kind of written off this season.
It's still really early, though, right? Like, and the Dodgers, I think, are what, like, 2 or 3 wins below their Pythagorean? So, like, in all honesty, they should be better than they are, even if it's by 1 or 2 wins. I don't know, man. I kind of agree with Zook that you probably try and go out and make the move, right? Because, like, Taylor is going to be an even bigger mess at shortstop, even though he can hit the ball. The guy's going to be even bigger of a mess defensively. And Jock and Kike are not the answer in center field. Not that Taylor's really the answer in center field right now either, but I don't know what you do at this point. They're still playing Matt Kemp in left, though, aren't they? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. It's like, maybe there's also a point here where the ownership has to look at, you know, the team is obviously underperforming here, and do you throw something into the mix here to jolt them a bit here, because they definitely are, you know, far exceeding what they're supposed to be doing here. They, you know, there's San Francisco shouldn't be ahead of them, or Colorado, right? I mean, even Arizona, I mean, they're doing pretty good and they're not a bad lineup there, but yeah, I just, there's something seems to be maybe this is a nice Winnipeg Jets term, malaise going on there in the Dodgers from last year. I don't know. They seem to be kind of stuck a bit here, and maybe this is something that would just, you know, jolt them out of what they're doing here, and then they can make a run, because the team is on paper there. They should be competing just at the top with everyone else.
Yeah. It's kind of I feel some ways this season looking at the, like, standings, that we're in that Stranger Things Upside Down.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, like, Atlanta is currently leading the East.
With a bunch of rookies.
The Brewers are currently leading the Central. It's like, what year is this? What's going on here? Like, the Angels are actually just ahead. I guess tied now with Houston.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I mean, I knew, like, Ohtani could be good for them, but, you know, you didn't necessarily predict them to be neck and neck with the Astros.
They made a lot of moves, though, right? Like, they went out and got some infielders to help them out. They got Cozart.
Well, and you've got some guys like Andrelton Simmons discovering their stroke and, like, producing, not just, you know, defensively, but also at bat.
Finally mashing the ball offensively, too, and And yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's Cole Calhoun's been playing pretty good. CJ Cron's been good for them too. This has been a good year for Angels, and their pitching's holding up. Skaggs has been pretty all right, and their bullpen's not been atrocious. They've been pretty good. I mean, I don't see them continuing this pace, and I don't see them being able to keep up with the Astros the entire year, the entire season. But they're gonna get a wild card spot. I hope they don't, because that means that's one less for the Jays, but, you know.
Yeah, and I got to say, the caveat is there's really just 30, 35 games in, right? I mean, it's just the start of May, so no matter that, I mean, other than maybe, you know, Cincinnati, you know, Kansas City, they're pretty much out of the running in Miami, right? It's going to be a volatile at the top there, right? Because it's going to change a bit here. But I would say the Angels is definitely, you know, they're the ones. I mean, even Seattle's right there, right, in that division. It's a pretty good division. I will say, as I'm not the biggest Jays fan, but, I mean, it's a good surprise what the Jays are doing, right? I think they're exceeding a lot of expectations earlier. They're right in the race there. That's, you know, everyone thought it's going to be Boston, New York. But, you know, the Jays are holding their own, right? I mean, they got a little bit of waxed yesterday, but overall, it's actually not as bad as, you know, I think there's a lot of doom and gloom going into this season that they might be competing for last in that division.
Mm-hmm. No, they're a little over 500 right now, and a game and a half out of the wild card. And, I mean, 4.5 back of Boston, but Boston is on, like, a historic tear in terms of they've started 22-9, which is ridiculous.
Man, they added so many good players. That's the thing, though, right? They took off so many dead weights on their roster. They're not sending Ryan Goings and Darwin Barney out to hit 400 at-bats apiece this year, right? They've replaced him with credible, viable, real big leaguers in Aledmys Diaz and Yonhervis Solarte. And Solarte's been a revelation. That guy is so much fun to watch play baseball. Oh,
8 hits yesterday in the doubleheader?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He went 8-for-10 with 2 home runs, including 1 grand slam. The guy's so much fun, and he's really good defensively, and you can move him around the infield, which is awesome and a huge blessing.
Second, third, and shortstop eligible in fantasy right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard him say that he can play first base as well if they need him to. You know, it's really nice to have someone like that when you know that Devon Travis and Tulo and Donaldson are each going to end up on the DL at different points in time during the season. Who knows if Tulo's ever going to come back? And so it's really nice to have him. And the outfield has been a revelation as well. Like, Grichik's not been great, but Teoscar has been awesome. Kevin Pillar's actually hitting like a major leaguer for once in his life. So it's kind of cool to see, man. They're doing really good. The bullpen has been phenomenal. Now, if only the starters could remember how to throw a baseball.
I was going to say Stroman and all those could actually, you know, keep up with the weight of the bullpen. They would be really good because that's where they're sort of scuffling a bit. But it is good. I mean, yeah, there's some. I mean, the crazy thing is this team is an old team, the veterans, right? The Tulos and Donaldson stuff. But yeah, they've got some utility players. They've got some players there that can fit in there. I'm totally surprised. I gotta be honest. I thought they'd be doing what a lot of teams, you know, the people have been reading about, a lot of teams they seem to be tanking, you know, trying to do the Houston or the Cubs way of trying to win a World Series, which I don't know if that can be done too often. But no, the Jays are right there. I mean, they're actually going to probably compete for a wild card, which is pretty exceptional this year. I mean, I think that'd be way ahead of most people's predictions there. And I don't know if they can sustain this, but if you're a Jays fan, it's pretty exciting right now because you actually have something to cheer for. And Toronto, it's good too because they got no hockey to cheer there, so they got to cheer something. And the basketball team, not so good right now either.
This has been your mandatory Blue Jays booster section brought to you by the Province of Ontario Tourism Board and Rogers.
Nice.
Just kidding.
I wish I got paid by that. That'd be nice.
No, we don't receive any coin from either of those.
Absolutely not.
For those who were longtime Jays fans, some positive news about Joey Batts, who is set to play third today in the series opener for the Braves against the Giants at SunTrust Park. He had signed a minor league deal with Atlanta mid-April.
It's a steal if he does something, right?
Yeah.
I think they only sign him for like $1 million or something, right? I mean, last year he got paid 17, I believe, with Toronto on the last of his deal there. Or no, the 1-year deal he signed. But I mean, it's worth a shot, right? I mean, he did a little bit in the minor leagues to get him promoted up there. And if he does anything, I mean, it's huge for Atlanta. I mean, they're right now, actually, like we were saying, they're in first place, unbelievably. Mm-hmm. And Joey Bats can help, sure.
And it's actually a prorated $1 million. So if he plays the rest of the season, he'd actually only be owed $800,000 by the club. So
crazy. I mean, like, it's both the right move and a weird move to make. You had Flaherty playing third base there, but the guy was playing well above his career averages. I think he was hitting something like 326 when his career average is like in the mid to low 200s. So, and Flaherty was 27. So you take a chance. Anthopoulos did this a whole bunch of times in the past, where you take a chance on basically catching lightning in a bottle with a veteran who might be looking for one more renaissance season, which is something that has happened. Like, it's not a rare occurrence. This happens all the time, and you take a chance on a guy that in the past has been one of, if not the best hitter in baseball at different points in time. He should have won the MVP instead of Verlander that one year. I think it was 2014 or 2015, and the guy can straight up mash. He is an incredible hitter. It's just whether or not he still has the bat speed to get around on some of the fastballs. I think he's a good addition. Whether or not he can play third, though, I'm going to watch some Atlanta Braves games this year, that's for sure.
Fire up TBS and Peachtree or whatever the old station was called.
Right.
So before we go, I want to turn quickly to Shaw Park, which is opening this Sunday for the annual open house, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday. The Goldeyes have sort of their training event and fan day, free hot dogs and a chance to get some early signatures from some of these players, including Victor Cruzado, who was just signed earlier this week. He was in the New York Mets organization, played AAA PCL's Las Vegas 51s last year. There's some exciting new players on the Goldeyes roster. Of course, they are defending back-to-back champs, and this is the 25th anniversary of the ball club, 1994, of course, the first year for the Goldeyes, the winningest franchise in Winnipeg.
The winningest franchise in Winnipeg!
Shout-outs to them. I know that some other clubs get a lot more pub, but we're excited to have
Man,
the Goldeyes back.
I love the fish.
So I think it's the 26th is the home opener?
Weekend.
Whatever that weekend is, because I think I'm going to go see the Sioux Falls.
25th. Friday the 25th is the home opener. They'll start, of course, the season on the road. They usually do spend most of May
in Texas
on the road doing that far south swing. What were you saying about the home opener, though, Zoo?
I was just saying the weather is going to be great for this Sunday just to go to the open house. But, I mean, this is definitely the sign that summer is coming to Winnipeg, right? So it's always a good thing. And, I saw the last game last year out there, and it's great. I mean, it is a bit of it's unfortunate that more people don't partake in that. And there's a lot of, the Jets is making the huge run, obviously, this year, right? And the Bombers are going to start up. But, people got to get out there, right? I mean, it's really good family entertainment there. It's pretty cheap, and it's a great night or a great day to, watch the ball game anytime.
Few better places to be in this city in the summer than at Shaw Park. And in fact, this year they've added a craft beer area.
Yep.
Nice.
In the just up top of A and B, the cheapest of the cheap seats there.
You can get a discount too if you have a CAA membership, 15% off your tickets.
There you go. This spot brought to you by CIAA, I guess. But we are excited to get the Goldeyes back on. We will, of course, try to get a hold of Andrew Collier, the GM, to set the season up in maybe the next week or the week after, and then throughout the season cover the bases with the Goldeyes. That pretty much does it for this edition of the Bench Jockeys. We're happy to be back. Happy to have Brian in studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Zook, maybe we'll have to get you down to the studio and off the phone.
I'll come on in studio when I can, and that would be awesome. It's always great to talk baseball again.
Wonderful. After this, Democracy Now.
Strike three, you're out.